on Wednesday night, we probably preached 18, 19 sermons so far into chapter 6. If you missed any of them, you'd like to get them. If you have a computer, you can go on sermonaudio.com and go under Elizabeth Baptist Church and you can listen. They're marked under our series part. You can go listen to any one that you perhaps have missed. Now, tonight, Matthew chapter 6, what we're going to do is we're going to focus in verses 16 through verse 18. So let's all stand and show respect. Hate to make you stand. No, don't. Stand up and show respect to the reading of the word, and we'll have a word of prayer again. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you fast, anoint thine head and wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can call you our Father. And we're thankful that you, in your mercy and grace, reached down and saved our souls. Undeserving creatures that we are, yet you loved us, Father. And we're thankful for that great love and affection that you bestowed upon us. Lord, we pray your blessings on this message this evening. We pray you pour your Spirit out upon everyone that's here. May we worship tonight in spirit and in truth. We pray that the people will be able to focus on your word. When they leave here tonight, they can say it's been a good place to be because you've been here. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, what we're going to entitle this is When Ye Fast. That will be the title of the message. And, of course, that's what it says. We'll just take the title from the text, When Ye Fast. Now, we're going to do the message in question form. I think it'd be easier. You not preached a lot on fasting. I looked in our archives. I like to say that. Looked in archives and couldn't find anything on it. Then went upstairs in 2004. I found a message that I preached on cassette and listened to it. And that's because it's been that long since I covered this particular subject. Very few people fast. I don't fast. Now, let me rephrase that. I fasted for a blood test. That's not the same kind of fast that the Bible's talking about. The fast in the Bible is fasting for a religious purpose. When I fast for a blood test, it's not fasting for a religious purpose, though I pray that the blood test turns out all right whenever I had it. We fast at times. I fasted before I had my back surgery, but that was for a health reason. That wasn't for a spiritual reason. So what we've really at one time, that was a habitual practice of God's people. Bible days, God's people prayed, fasted. The early saints prayed and fasted. You look at the Dark Ages going up through there, all the way up to the Reformation, and that 1,500 years between before the Reformation, God's people prayed and fasted. That's just something that they did. Now today, fasting is getting to be something that we don't talk about it, we don't do it. Now it's getting hard to find people to pray, much less fast. You agree? It's hard to get people to just pray, much less pray and fast. So I think it shows you the downward decline that we as God's people are on. You see what I'm trying to say? Not only do we not fast, but in many cases, we don't pray either. So when you see the word fasting, here's the meaning of it that I give. Now, keep in mind there's many kinds of fast. This is a broad subject. Sometimes there's fasting where you do without food and water for a certain time frame. Sometimes there's fast where it's just you do without food and you drink water. Sometimes there's fast where you don't take certain kinds of meat. For instance, you notice that in the book of Daniel chapter 10. He didn't drink or didn't eat no, it said, dainty bread or leavened bread or anything of that nature for 3 weeks. And he drank water, I believe it was. So there's different ways, different kinds of fast. So it's hard to give a definition that covers all of them, but I'm going to do the best I can with it. Here's what fasting is. recognizing that, again, that there's different types, different lengths of fast and all that. Abstinence from food for a period of time for the purpose of drawing near to God in prayer. Let me give you that definition again. Abstinence from food for a period of time for the purpose of drawing near to God in prayer. Okay, now there's many examples of it in the Scripture. You can go into the Old Testament and I'll show you a couple examples of it. 2 Samuel, you don't have to turn to this one because you're pretty familiar with it. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 18. David had a baby, a newborn baby that was ill and was dying. And the Bible says that he laid on his face and in sackcloth and ashes, and he fasted. He ate no bread. He drank no water. And what did he also do? He entreated of the Lord for that child. So there you have an example of David praying. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. We taught a series one time on the kings of Judah. That's been one of my, I always say that though, don't I? One of my favorite series is, I love the kings of Judah. Now you talk about great life lessons, is looking at those guys. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If any of you turn to Corinthians instead of Chronicles, you can go ahead and go home. I'm just kidding you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, what happens in this text, if you notice back at verse 1, it came to pass after this that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So there's at least three or four nations. I mean, here's a great multitude of different armies that's flooding down in, coming towards Judah to fight against them. That's a distressing time. They were far outnumbered, far outnumbered. And notice what it says, Jehoshaphat. Here's how he responded to this coming crisis. It says, verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. Verse 3. Now what's it say? And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. That's what you do in a fast. The purpose of the fast is you're drawing aside to seek the Lord. And basically, by the fast, you're saying that your desire for the Lord is greater than your desire for food. Hear what I just said? Your desire for Him and His presence and His company and His fellowship is greater than your desire for food. So here it was a distressing situation. A multitude of soldiers were coming towards Jerusalem. And it says in verse 3 that he proclaimed the fast. He proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a politician do that? I mean, he was actually a politician, wasn't he? He's a king. A little bit different than our politicians, I guess. But wouldn't it be wonderful? The nation's in such bad shape. I'm calling upon God's people to fast and pray. That'd get more done than anything. You'd see more done that way than any other means. And the problem is that that's not getting done whatsoever. I'm not going to get off on that. Just the point is, in this time of distress, here's these armies invading. They fasted and they prayed. And he called upon the people of Israel to fast, or Judah to fast and pray. We see it with David. We see it with Jehoshaphat. This one you know of in the book of Jonah. Remember, Jonah went up to Nineveh and preached. And he preached that judgment was coming upon the city of Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. So he preached that this judgment was coming. You know what the king of Nineveh did? He called a what? He called a fast. And they humbled themselves before the Lord and repented of their sins. So there again, you see a fast. They abstained from food, and in their cases, abstained from water, and entreated of the Lord for their situation. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah, since you're still in Chronicles. We just got through teaching through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah was in, if I remember right, Shushan. And they were in Babylonian. Let me get this right. They were in, at this time, I believe he was in Persian captivity. Yeah, that's right. Nehemiah chapter 1. And he heard the shape of the the shape that Jerusalem was in. Remember in the book of Ezra, King Cyrus sent them back to the land. And they rebuilt, remember what they rebuilt first? They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt then when Nehemiah came on the scene, he rebuilt the wall. So he hears of the shape of Jerusalem. He asked someone that had been in Jerusalem what type of shape Jerusalem was in, and it was in horrible shape. Notice what it says in verse 3. Then they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass that when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed. Now I can show you text after text after text in God's word that shows you where in times of affliction, times of sorrow, times of great distress, and we'll talk more about that later, the people of God fasted and they prayed. They did the combination of both of those. And that's what Matthew 6 addressing this subject of the fast, which you'll notice that is certainly something that we've pretty much lost today. As I said, we're not fasting, but in many cases, we're not praying either like we should. Okay? All right, let's turn back to our text in the book of Matthew. So you got the definition, and I'll give you an example of what it is. The definition is abstinence from food for a period of time for the purpose of drawing near to God in prayer. It was always, you just didn't fast. What was accompanied with fasting? Prayer. See? All right, let's move on to the second question. Are we commanded to fast? Actually, there is no command that commands you to fast. I mean, you can't point to a text that says, thou shalt fast. Can't do it. But in the Old Testament, there was a day that they were commanded to fast. And that was on the Day of Atonement. You know, we call the Day of Atonement a feast day. It was not a feast day. The Day of Atonement was a fast. They were making it, that's when the high priest of Israel took the blood of a bull and a goat and went into the Holy of Holies and made atonement for the sins of the people. He did that every year, continually, until King Jesus made the atonement that atonement pictured. So, when this atonement was being made by the high priest, what the people did that day is in the text in the book of Leviticus 16, it says that they afflicted their souls. And the idea of afflicting your souls is they fasted. That's what it means to afflict your soul. Isaiah 58 talks about afflicting your soul, and then it uses the term fast right underneath of it. Afflicting your soul was fasting. So on the Day of Atonement, they were commanded to fast. Now, why would they do that? Because that day they were to mourn over their what? Over their sin. Over their transgressions. They would be sorry for the sins they committed. They had the Day of Atonement every year. And on that day, they fasted. And they mourned for their sin. And then again, Friday morning, it would show their sorrow over their sin. They're so sorry for their sin that they abstained from food as an evidence of that sorrow. Their sorrow is greater than their desire for food. That's a good picture. I think that's great in the text. All right, so we are not commanded to fast, but it seems to be assumed that we will. It seems to be assumed that we will. And you say, well, now why would you say that? And I'll show you. Notice how this is worded in Matthew chapter 6. If you'll look up at the very beginning of chapter 6, it says in verse 2, when thou doest thy alms. When you do your good. Now, certainly there's a command to do good works, aren't they? I mean, I'm wondering, is there a command to do good works? Well, certainly. After you're saved, you're to do good works. Not doing good works to get saved. You're doing good works because you are saved. Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify who? Glorify your Father. That's another thing God's people don't do anymore. Not only do they not fast or pray, they don't have very many good works. There's not a whole lot of indicator that they've had a changed life. You see what I mean? So a lot of these things you can see at the time frame we're living in, you can see the downward slide with regard to spirituality. Can you see it? Can you see the downward spiral? What do you think is the cause of that? What do you think is the cause of that? I mean, there's a lot of causes you can point to, but the word's getting pushed down. Churches anymore just entertainment centers. Instead of the focus being on the Scriptures, the teaching of God's Word and the spreading of the Gospel, ministering of the ordinances, it's on entertainment. The greatest shows on earth sometimes are done in churches for the purpose of drawing a crowd. You draw a crowd that way, but you're going to have to keep doing that to keep one. I think God's Word has to be the draw. And if it ain't the draw, well, you can have it. Really. If it ain't the draw, then you can have it. But you know what else I think's the cause? Now, you will think I'm good. No, you probably won't think I'm goofy. The negative influence of the television set, I think, is another thing. I mean, my. The foul language and all the different sin that's associated with the television. It depends on what you watch, doesn't it? But boy, I'll tell you one thing. It's horrible what some people watch. It's horrible what some people pipe in their homes. If someone come in my house and use some of the language that's used on that thing, I'd ask them to leave. You ain't doing that. You ain't talking like that in front of my wife. It's my house. Would you? You're not talking like that in front of my kids. But it's all right to pipe it in. You see, it's not really cussing if it comes over the idiot box, is it? Well, yes, it is. And what happens is that constant... That constant setting it, you know, that's when David wrote Psalms 101:3, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. He realized the influence of viewing that which is wicked. And our whole nation's been corrupted by it. I really believe that. So I need to get off that subject. We're talking about fasting. But I'm just showing you the downward trend in this thing. And you can see it. It's horrible, horrible situation. So we're not commanded to fast. So here it says, when you do your alms. So it assumes that you're going to do good works, doesn't it? We have a command to do good works, but it assumes you're going to, if you're saved. Number two, verse 7 says, when ye do what? When ye pray. So it just assumes you're going to pray when you do it. Not if you're going to do it. Notice it doesn't say if you do your alms. And it doesn't say if you pray. It just assumes you're going to. Does everybody in the house see that? But then when you come down to fasting, look what it says. When ye fast. So there it assumes you're going to do it. God's people did it in the Old Testament. Did Jesus do it? Sure did. He fasted. The disciples fasted. You can see different occasions where they fasted. Now, are we commanded to fast? No, but it's assumed that we do. It's assumed that we do. Matthew chapter 9. It says, and Jesus said unto them, verse 15, Matthew 9:15, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn? They were, actually Jesus' disciples when he was here didn't fast, but they did fast afterwards. Okay? Now Jesus did, but his disciples enjoyed his presence while they were here. Watch this now. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. So it assumes that they will fast, the disciples will fast. So are we commanded to? No. It's a voluntary work that you do, and it's just assumed that you will. Now, I just feel about like a hypocrite to even mention it because I've never really fasted. I plan on it, especially as a result of this sermon. You don't want to preach something you've never practiced. But I fasted, but not to seek the Lord. Fasted to get a good blood test, though. Different kind of fast. So you'll find that this is something that we need to do. We'll talk more about it. Let's talk a little bit about wrong fasting. We give you two questions. I showed you what fasting was, and then I answered the question, are we commanded to? No, but it's assumed that we will, if that's much of an answer. No direct command, thou shalt not fast, but if you take this text with the alms doing and take this text with the praying, it assumes that you will. Wrong fasting. What's the wrong way to fast? Well, that's what Matthew 6 is covering. It tells you not to be as the hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Someone putting on a show. Now, one thing I pray for, and I do this all the time, and you need to too, is I want to be real. I want to be real. I want to be in the eyes of God. I want to be in secret what I am in public. How about you? You know, it says in this text, if you look back at it again, in verse 18, it says, your Father, which is in secret, that thou appear unto men to fast, but unto the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward the opening. The Father sees where at? He sees in what? He sees in secret. So what you are in secret is what you are. What you are in public many times is what you portray to be. Well, we don't want to put no portrayal of anything. We want to be real. We want to be real in secret as well as real in public. And if you're real in secret, then public part will take care of itself on it. So, wrong type of fasting is when someone fasts for the purpose, like the hypocrites did, the Pharisees did. They did it for the purpose of being seen. They'd mess their hair up and they'd let themselves look like they just got up out of bed. So, I've been fasting. And they did it so people would think they was holy. That's the same reason why they prayed on a street corner so everybody could hear them. So, same reason why they sounded a trumpet whenever they gave alms. So, they wanted to draw attention to themselves. There's religion, religious practice was not for the glory of God. It was for the glory of themselves, to draw attention to themselves. Well, we don't want to be hypocrites. We'll be real. Remember, a hypocrite was someone, was a play actor. It was a word used to describe an actor, someone that's acting out a part. They'd take a face and put up in front of theirs, and they would pretend to be something that they weren't. It's just acting. I'll tell you something about hypocrisy. You can fool everybody, but you can't fool God on that thing. God sees in secret. God knows what you are. So they fasted for the purpose of drawing. That's a wrong kind of fast. Do you agree? That's the wrong way to do it. You're to do a fast like you do every other religious practice. You're to do it for the glory of God. And you're to do it from your heart. All God's people said, it's how it's to be done. Another wrong type fast is when you're fasting at the same time living in sin. Here you have the outward practice of religion, but at the same time you're living in open sin. And the Lord addressed this with the children of Israel in Isaiah 58. If you would turn there. Isaiah chapter 58. We're looking at wrong fasting. Now, I'll go back and recap all this at the end. Wrong fasting. One type of wrong fasting is when you fast for the purpose of your own glory. You want to appear like you're fasting. So people will say, there he's a fasting. Look how dedicated of a Christian he is. See? Trying to draw attention to themselves. Remember the Pharisee in Luke 18 said that he fasted twice a week. He fasted. Remember the parable of the rich man and the publican? That Pharisee fasted twice a week. Isaiah 58. Verse 1 says, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me daily, verse 2 says, they delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. They forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, said they. And thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? You see, it's talking about fasting, afflicting your soul. And thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast ye did find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Verse 6, is it not the fast, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? They were fasting, but they weren't feeding the poor. They were fasting, and at the same time, they were living in sin. He said, I don't want, that's a wrong fast. That's an outward religious practice. But at the same time, they weren't doing what they should have been doing spiritually. So that's another wrong type of fast. When a person is living in sin and they're seeking to make an approach to the Lord in fasting, and at the same time, their life's undisciplined and they're not serving the Lord. They're just outwardly just going through the motions of a religious practice. Number three. I want you to get this one. Number three, here's another type of wrong fast. When you seek to force God's will by fasting. Some folks think by fasting, they're twisting God's arm and saying, now you've got to give me this, I'm fasting. And that's not so. You're only going to get from the Lord. Let me say this another way. Fasting will not change God's will. Fasting will not change God's will. God's will is going to be done. Now, many times through the means of fasting, He works His will out. But God's will is going to, if I have a petition, and I'm so tore up about this petition that I'm not eating over it, and I'm interceding to the Lord, that's not forcing God to grant me what I'm requesting. His will is going to be done. You're not twisting His arm, so to speak, by the fast. That's the wrong reason to do it anyhow. On the other hand, fasting won't change God's will, but fasting will change you. That's the purpose of doing it. You're drawing near to God, and it has an impact upon you. Can I use an illustration of that, you care? David had in 2 Samuel 12, which we read earlier, David had a baby that was sick. And the prophet then announced to David that that child would die. Do you remember? And one reason was because of David's sin. Do you remember that? So you know what David did when the child got sick? He fasted. And he lied on his face and he prayed. And boy, he meant it. I mean to tell you, he poured out his heart to the Lord. Can you imagine how he felt? And he just prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know what happened? The child died. That's exactly what happened. The child died. And God had already said that in advance, that that's what's going to happen. Through His prophet, that's what the Lord said, and the child did indeed die. His fasting did not change God's will. Did it? But it did change him. It did change David. You remember what David did? Think about it. He responded. Remember, the child dies and the servants are afraid to go in and tell him. They're afraid to go in and say, David, this baby that you've been fasting for wouldn't even get up. I mean, he just laid on the ground and prayed and prayed and prayed. I can't remember how many days that he did that, but that's what he did. And he interceded to God for the life of the child. You can understand. You think he prayed from his heart? You think he meant it? Sure he did. He did. But the baby died. So the servants was afraid to come in and tell David. Well, they said if he responded this way when the child was sick, and he hears that the child has died, oh my, it's going to be horrible. Well, they come in and he could hear him whispering, and he figured out by the way his servants was acting that that the child died. Do you remember what David did? How he responded to it? It says he washed his face. He got up out of the dirt. He put on clean clothes. And he went down to the house of God. And he did what, folks? He worshiped. See, the fast changed him. It brought him into a closer fellowship with his Father. He couldn't have done that in and of himself. Do you see the point why the fast didn't change God's will? But it changed David. It gave him strength to react to an overwhelming circumstance. It gave him strength to continue on. And he got up. Remember what he said? They even questioned him. They even questioned him about that, why he responded the way he did. He said, while I was living, I didn't know whether it was going to, who to say that maybe God would have mercy and spare the child. Now he's dead. And he said, can I bring him again? He said, I cannot bring him again, but one day I'll go to him. See, the fact that I believe the child was with the Lord, and I think that's what the text intends to teach too. But the reflection is, he was able to worship on that day. Think about what he did. How was he able to do that? He was close to the Lord. When you get close to Jesus, hear me. When you're close to the Master, you can handle things that's not possible in your flesh. You can go through things that's absolutely not possible in and of yourself. And people look and say, oh my, how can he or she respond that way? It's the power of God that does it. And the fast does not change God's will. But it does change you. See, when you're fasting, you're drawing near to Him. And it has an impact upon you. All right, let's get a case. I'm going to recap this. I didn't say that, didn't I? Occasions for fasting. Occasions for fasting. Are you ready? Times of great distress. Passages as I read to you about fasting, those people were in times of great distress. An army, about a 4 or 5 nation army coming towards you, a multitude of men that you couldn't even number coming to invade your city and with your family and everything there, that would be a time of great distress. Jehoshaphat called for a fast and prayer. That's what he did. Okay? David's child, that was a time of great distress. So there's another example of it. Nineveh, whenever Jonah said God was going to destroy Nineveh in 3 days, that was a time of great distress. And you see, a fasting was called for. Any time of great distress is an occasion for fasting and prayer. Okay? Any time of great distress is it. And you'll think, just for a little bit, it seems to turn you that way in distress, because in times of distress, your hunger isn't like it was before anyhow. Think about it. When I'm distressed and burdened of heart, I don't want to eat. And sometimes don't. And that's a fitting time to fast and put the focus on your God and pray and intercede to Him in prayer. So a time of great distress is an occasion for fasting. Number two, a time of repentance. The king of Nineveh called for repentance. Jonah preached repentance to the people. They needed to repent because God was going to destroy the city in 3 days. He called for a fast. It was an evidence of repentance. They're so sorry for their sins that their sorrow is greater than their desire for food. So they do without food and they water and they focus on interceding to God, because it's such a drastic situation. They've sinned against God and they're sorry for it. Then they afflict their souls, which is what fasting is a representation of. So time of great distress, you fast. A time of repentance. Number three, a time of seeking God's will. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. This is the church at Antioch. church located at Antioch. Primarily a Gentile church, though there were some Jews there. It says, verse 1, "Now there was in this church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and were brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul." Now watch this. It says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I have called them.'" So here in this text, they're seeking God's will. And it could have been, this fast could have just been something that they were doing as a group of leaders there at the church. But it says that they fasted. And when they fasted, that's when Barnabas and Paul was separated to be missionaries. So the direction was given through the means of the fast. So it's a time of seeking God's will. Notice Acts chapter 14. I'll show you something in this text too. This is at the end of the first journey, first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas had went out. There's many churches had been started. You know what? When you have a church, you know what you need after you have a church, don't you? You need a pastor. You need an under shepherd. You need an elder. You need a pastor, elder, bishop. It's all the same office. Bishop just simply means an overseer. An elder is one mature in the faith. A pastor is like a shepherd that feeds and tends the flock, see? All the same office in God's Word. Verse 23. It says, "And when they had ordained elders in every church..." The word elder is look at Titus. They had qualifications to be an elder. It's one that's mature in the faith. You're not to put a baby in Christ in the pulpit to be a pastor. It needs to be one that's an elder, one that's mature in the faith, one that knows the Scriptures. Now, I want to give you something that's free, and you can look it up. I encourage you to do it. You see, it says the word ordained. That word means to choose by the raising of the hand. To choose by the raising of the hand. That means that the church chose them. They weren't appointed for them. The church chose their elders. Choose by the raising of the hand. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they had prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord on whom they believe." So when they chose these elders, they prayed with what? There you have, when they make this decision, they prayed and they fasted. So occasions for fastings is time of great distress, times of coming judgment, and you're showing repentance that way. Times of seeking God's will, you have a decision to make. And you're praying and fasting and seeking God's will. You ever had a decision to make and fasted and prayed? It would be wonderful if before people would get married, they'd fast and pray and seek God's face. Because He knows that old girl 3 or 4 years from that point, and He knows that old boy down the line too. But oftentimes God's face is not even entreated when they're making one of the greatest decisions in their lives. So anytime you're making a decision and you're seeking God's will, that's when they done it. And last of all, not last at all for the sermon, I'm still rolling. Okay? We're showing you occasions for fasting, times of great distress, times of showing repentance, times of seeking God's will. You need to have a decision to make. And just times of drawing near. Times of just drawing near to God. You just want to draw up close to Him. Listen to me. You can be just as close to Him as you want to be. Do you believe that? I'm just asking. You think you can be just as close to Him as you want to be? Sure you can. There's no question. He'll spend time with you. If you're His child, He loves you. There's no question that He'll spend time with you. And I'm going to tell you, if you spend a lot of time with the Lord, it gives you strength. It gives you encouragement. It gives you ability to do things, doesn't it? So there's no question that He'll spend time with you. So fasting and prayer is one way of drawing near to Him. Okay, what's the purpose of fasting? We've done give them mostly to you, but I'll sum them up. Drawing near to God, seeking His face. Another purpose is to change you, to get you closer to the Lord so that you're able to make a good decision. You make better decisions when you're closer to the Lord. When you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you do goofy things. At least I do. You make better decisions when you're close to Jesus. You're able to handle things better when you're close to Jesus. You can't handle things when you're not close to Him. But you can when you are. You can do things that you never thought. What does the text say in Philippians 4? I can do all things through Christ. Which does what? How do you get that? One way of getting is through fasting and prayer. It promotes self-discipline. We're all over the drunkards, aren't we? But you know what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs? The drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. It mentions both of them. We need to have our body under subjection, not only in the drinking department, but also in the eating department. There's just as many people eat themselves to death as drink themselves to death. But you don't ever hear anybody deal with gluttony. Because we like to eat. Church dinners are a world known. Nothing wrong with church dinners, don't cancel them out. But you got to do that. You got to do that. Everything in moderation. You see what I mean? But a fast helps give you a little bit of discipline of your body. When I was an athlete, 100 years ago, I lifted and things, but I ate right. I still try to eat right. But I ate right then. I ate right because I know with lifting, I needed to eat right so I'd be strong and in good shape and be able to run and all those things. Did it so I could be a good football player. So I wouldn't get tired, so I could outrun somebody, you know, so I'd be strong, able to throw people down on things if I needed to. I did that to be a good athlete. Why wouldn't you want to take care of your body so you can be a good servant of Jesus Christ? I'm a Christian athlete. I'm running a race. I want to be able to go see people. I want to be able to come to God's house. So I want to take care of myself now so I can serve the Lord. You see the difference? And why do you seek to keep yourself? Why do you seek to eat right? Why do you seek to do these things now? You're not an athlete. Yeah, I am. I want to be able to serve the Lord in a good capacity up until the day I die. There's a book written called None of These Diseases. I'm not saying all of them, so don't misapply. A lot of diseases are self-inflicted. From abuse to people's bodies. They abuse them. They do things they should not do. And then their body breaks down from all the abuse over the years. Take care of your body so you can serve Jesus. That's more important. Take care of your body so you can be a good athlete so Polka can win a football game. They do it for that reason too. So fasting also promotes self-discipline. Also in Matthew chapter 6, it says your Father sees in secret and He will reward you. Sometimes He rewards fasting by giving you the request that you request. So those are encouragements to fast. So what was the message entitled tonight? You say, Jeff, you bored us to death. Well, I hate that. But you need to know about fasting. I mean, you'll ask me a question on it. I'll say, I preached on that a month ago. But you need fasting and prayer. They go together. So, as we've come to the end of this text, I told you I'd go over this outline again. You care if I do it just for your memory's sake? Our first question, what is fasting? I showed you it was abstinence from food for a period of time for the purpose of drawing near to God. That was our definition. At number two, are we commanded to? No. But we are assumed. The passage seems to assume that we will. It implies that we will. Number three is a wrong fasting. Yeah, if you're fasting to draw attention to yourself, if it's a show, if you're doing it to twist God's arm to grant what you want, that's the wrong reason to do it. You're seeking God's presence and you're seeking God's will. What's the occasions for it? Times of great distress. Good time for to do it. Times of repentance, times of seeking God's will, times of just drawing near. Now let me give you a warning in closing. Can everybody fast? Some people cannot. Some people cannot. A diabetic would be dangerous if they fast, wouldn't it? They have to eat at a certain time. So, I mean, there's certain things that a person might not be able to do, can't do, but especially a diabetic would have trouble doing that. Someone with an eating disorder, I wouldn't suggest that they fast. So you got to be careful about, there are certain people that wouldn't be wise for them to. Pregnant woman wouldn't be wise for them to fast. So there are certain occasions and certain people that shouldn't fast. All God's people said, all right, let's all stand.